Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
8:36 Central African Time, the time of the morning where we join our very own Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam. He is a member of Parliament, and on the segment called Parliamentary Tunes with MP Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam, who is the leader of the NFP also and a member of Parliament. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful morning?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, beautiful, mashallah, day in Durban, blue skies. However, I'm advised that the Western Cape is expecting some very bad end of stormy weather. Very, very huge winds are expected there, so I think people need to be very, very careful. In the Western Cape, which is starting sometimes today, leading up to sometimes tomorrow. So for the next 2 days, people need to be a little bit careful in that particular area. Of course, the Springboks have done it, no doubt, after since 2013, managed to beat the Australians 24-8. Congratulations to them. The panel to hear the inquiry into the president and his Fala Fala game reserve. The issue is gaining momentum. The deadline has now passed for nominations. Well, from the NFP side, we've nominated Advocate Griffiths Madonsela, Senior Counsel, who has acted as a judge and things previously. So that's the one that we have actually nominated. Many political parties have. Some have even nominated former Chief Justice Mokgweng Moseneke, many others. And we're expecting to hear from the Speaker of Parliament who exactly is the panel of three that she's going to, choose so that we can get going with the inquiry. As you all know, that the President has refused in Parliament to answer based on legal advice that he's been given on the issue of Pala-Pala, so that, you know, caused a lot of disruption during the week in Parliament, absolutely. I mean, it went on for hours and hours. And I can tell you the next sessions of the President is going to be the same. In fact, I think it's going to be worse because many political parties will raise questions only about the Pala-Pala. And there's a lot of questions needed to be answered there. That's just some of the things. But I've got a response, Brother Shafat, from the questions that I raised to the Minister of Police as to which police officers were aware of it and did report it and things, and why no action has been taken against them, if any, for failing to investigate this. Very evasive responses came in, other than to say that it was the protection services that reported it to who, we don't know. Why investigations were not conducted, we don't know. And other than they can say that the Hawks are now investigating. Well, that's just, the ANC KwaZulu-Natal is calling for government to support former President Jacob Zuma on whatever is going on right now, including the attachments at his Nkandla household. The IEC, of course, says there's chaos at the moment in terms of the court ruling and preparations for 2024, particularly in terms of the independence and things. Unless there's clarity provided, they don't believe that, they can do justice because they need at least 18 months to prepare for elections in any event. So, say they are. Well, the arsonist, the alleged arsonist of the fired parliament, Mafe, did not appear in court. He apparently refused to appear in court. His lawyer said that they didn't advise him not to do that. He wanted certain benefits in prison, part of which were given to him and others were not. He wanted a kettle and other stuff which was not given to him. So you can see prisoners today demand what they want. The United States, once again, Brother Shafat, now provoking China in any event, because they are now providing 1 billion rand worth of arms to Taiwan. So you can see the stance of the United States, and there are further reports that what the United States really want is also the collapse of Russia, and that is why they provide so much of support to NATO and, more importantly, to Ukraine. So the United States' interference, meddling in affairs, Now, Brother Shepherd, there's a report that has come out, and I've seen yesterday. I'm not sure if I have sent it to you yet, but which one needs to interrogate extensively is the issue about the Uyghur community in China. Because there are reports and journalists that are raising serious concerns that what we are hearing about the atrocities against the Uyghur community is not true, that a lot of this is just fabricated, and the United States is in the forefront of this fabrication and propaganda that seems to be going. So I don't know. I think it also calls for us as members of the Ummah to, you know, go on a visit to this place and see exactly what is going on. Meet our people firsthand and get firsthand information as to exactly what the situation is there. You know, whilst we know the human rights policies of China, and there's no doubt about it, there's a lot of atrocities when it comes to the Chinese. But let us not forget the big monster in the United States of America who work on the divide and rule policy. So I think it's good to go and get first-hand information as to exactly what is going on.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, Ahmed, because there is a lot of propaganda going around, and the Americans have gone on a tumultuous tirade on propagating their side of view about the Uyghur Muslims and about all the atrocities. We can talk to them about Guantanamo Bay. We can talk to them about all the, you know, all these camps that they have still around the world where they take people away secretly, and then we can ask them about Afshan Siddiqui and so forth. But as you said, the Uyghur issue, even Imran Khan was very, guarded when he was asked about it, and he said that, but I don't know much about it, but I don't think it's it's such a big issue and so forth. But we need to go and investigate. And as you said, firsthand, I mean, ask China, you know, but we're hearing all this. We are level-headed people. You know, whatever we see, and maybe you as an MP can do that with your good friend George Galloway, and go check out the Uyghur Muslims in China and give us a first-hand report. And then, we also believe that the alliance between India and the unholy alliance between India and Israel, America being complicit, and the flooding that's taking place in Pakistan, and that, you know, it can be manipulated, and some of the dams that the Indians can open can exacerbate the flooding. Your thoughts on all these stories coming through? Some will say, oh no, man, it's another conspiracy theory. But your thoughts, Ahmed?
Well, you know, we must not rule out these things, but I think it's very important, like the point you made, Brother Shafat, that one needs to also go first and go and get first-hand information. And I think I must take up that on, you know, to speak to the Chinese talk to them about going there and going and getting first-hand information, because, you know, the United States, we must all always want to, and they know that, you know, with the Chinese and the influence the Chinese have all over the world, particularly in the African continent. So we must not forget that the United States of America, like it or not, is the biggest monster you can ever find. And they are masters when it comes to propaganda and things like that. So I think it's very, very important that we should actually get first information. Because if you notice something, Brother Shepherd, not much information is unfolding from the Uyghur community, even though you and I will agree that with social media today, you can get anything and everything anywhere in the world you want to. And I'm not getting anything, you know, personally. And let's be honest, that even Brother Imran Khan, will not just sit back, you know, if he was convinced there's atrocities against the Ummah, members of the Muslim community in China. Surely, you know, he will intervene to see, or would have intervened at least. So, and he too was not convinced. But now that there's other reports coming one needs to rather, you know, go deeper into it to see whether there is any truth in what we're hearing, or to the level that it is reported, or whether it's just mischief making by the United States of America to cause havoc again. But I think it's very important that we could put a team together and perhaps go and get first-hand information as to what is going on.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at Nigeria's High Commission warns its citizens in South Africa about Operation Dudula. Dudula, hey, they seem like, you know, they do what they want to do. Your thoughts, Ahmed?
Yeah, this matter has been raised again and again, and it's not just them. There's many others. If you look at Gayton McKenzie and his reckless, you know, he forgets that, you know, he himself has been a criminal for a long period of time. And look at the reckless statements he makes, say that he will switch off the oxygen and things. I mean, you know, but again, Brother Shafford, this is all politics. You know, you saw that Operation Dudula split, and some of them went into politics. You can see many of these NGOs and NPOs and civil society organizations, policing forums, they're creating a platform when they have these organizations to then enter politics. And then you have to tell the people on the ground what they want to hear if you want their vote. And clearly, you know, foreigners won't give them the vote. They need the local vote. So they will, you know, like some use race. These people are using foreign nationals as a escape route. But it's very unfortunate that you know, we talk about hate speech, we talk about human rights, we talk about democracy, but there's not enough laws to protect the very same people that are victims, like foreign nationals at this point in time. Well, fortunately, the Minister of Home Affairs have extended the Zimbabwean visas for another period of 6 months. Whether eventually he'd be able to, get rid of most of these Zimbabweans that may be unlawfully or illegally in the country is yet to be seen. But I think what is important is this, that these people have fled. I mean, you know, Brother Shafford, if you visit Zimbabwe, you'll ask yourself, how is it that people really survive if you look at the cost of living there? You know, just an ordinary fruit, Brother Shafford, the price you pay for it is shocking. Now, what do you really do when you can't make a J? You look for opportunities. In Africa, you found the best opportunity you can come and earn a living in South Africa. And let us be honest, Brother Shafford, if you take people from the African continent, I think the Zimbabweans are most learned, one of the most honest group of people that you can actually find, the Zimbabweans. Now, notwithstanding, of course, we have criminals, but we have criminals from all over the world. There's a criminal that was in prison and who used a fake ID for fraud, wanted from the United States of America. While sitting in prison, he was able to get that entire records at Home Affairs removed. Can you believe it? So you can see there are criminals from all over, including, you know, locally as well. So we can't really say everybody is criminals. And some of them that come here become criminals because nobody are born criminals when they see these opportunities. People are hungry, they're doing it. Not that I'm trying to justify. But to treat them in the manner you're treating them, you know, going out there to the hospital and standing out there and protesting and demanding the ID documents of the patients, and things. I mean, is that acceptable? Is that humane, Brother Shafford? Tell me, is that humane? So really, I, from us and from my personal perspective, I believe that it must be condemned. But government does not have, while we boast about having one of the finest constitutions in the world, look at how we're treating these people, and there's no protection for them whatsoever.
Automobile Association, AA, says current unaudited data from the Central Energy Fund is indicating a noteworthy drop to fuel prices across the board. According to CEF's figures, 95 petrol is expected to be lowered by around 2.35 rand a litre, whilst 93 is set to drop around 2.18 rand a litre. Your thoughts, Ahmed? I mean, it goes up so high, but it goes down very, very low.
Hello. Yes, I know you. You just went on to 2 rand, and then you cut off.
You said that the petrol will be lowered by 2.35 rand a litre, and 93 by 2.18 rand a litre, Ahmed.
Yes, well, But remember that figure in 235, brother. Yeah, but it's not the first time we've been hearing those figures. Isn't it strange? Very prominent figure, 230, either rise or drop. But be that as it may, yes, good news for motorists is that there's quite a drop of 234. Nothing long overdue. People are having great difficulty. If you look at when you fill up these tanks, I remember filling the tank up the other day, but 1,000, and it wasn't entirely empty, and it was 1,710 rand. So you can imagine how much of pressure it is on the people, you know, when it comes to filling up the petrol. In fact, you know, I've always said that having a motor vehicle is a necessity. It's not a luxury. Well, now it's super luxury because, let me tell you, I mean, if you look at the cost of the fuel alone and the maintenance, wear and tear, with everything that goes up, you know, what it costs to travel just 1 kilometer. So every kilometer that you waste driving unnecessarily, you are wasting actually money. It's exactly the same thing when I repeatedly say, Brother Shafford, that having your electricity on and appliances on when it's unnecessary, you're just burning money. You're just wasting money. And we often don't realize that, you know. So, yeah. But I think it's the relief that is welcomed, you know, it will bring some contention to our people on the ground at least. You know, 235 is quite a considerable drop in any event. Unless government decides to do away with that 150 that, you know, levy that they were talking about, then that will be effective again. Yeah.
Yeah, Amir, then you also look at Gorbachev. I don't know if you remember Mikhail Gorbachev. He died on Tuesday at the age of 91 following a serious illness and a long-time illness. He was in power from 1985 to 1991, and Gorbachev sought to transform the Soviet Union, but he's well remembered for his war in Afghanistan, where, you know, he had to move out or come out with his tail between his legs. How do you remember Mikhail Gorbachev, Ahmad?
Well, others are saying that he is the cause of the collapse of the Soviet Union because of the, you know, the friendship that he built with the United States of America and the agreement and understanding he had with them. And that is why many of them regard him, you know, do not have much good to say about him, because they felt that, you know, under him, the real Soviet Union has made, was actually the demise of the Soviet Union. But be that as it may, yes, he has died. He's played a significant role. Well, many of them, as far as Afghanistan, you can say, have actually failed in terms of their achievements or in terms of what they wanted to achieve. And, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensured that the Afghani people prevailed. And yes, indeed, it's a setback not only for the Russians, but also a setback for the Americans as well. You know, Brother Shafford, the problem that I have, that even though some of these people, like the United States, if you look at in Iraq and you talk about the, you know, weapons of mass destruction, they spoke about nuclear stuff. You know, Brother Shafford, when they come back and realize, and the world realizes that there was no such a thing, very little or nothing is said after that about it. There's no consequences for the damage and destruction and mayhem and chaos that you caused in these countries, you know, knowing that what you were doing was wrong, knowing there was really nothing. And, but, you know, people like the United States just get away with these things. People think nothing of it. So really, you know, until, and that is why to some extent, and I know that our concerns are about Russia, our concerns are also about China and many others. But Brother Shafford, somebody somewhere has to start taking on the United States of America if you want a peaceful generation of people in the future. You have to do that. And I'm glad that, you know, already you can see the dollar is under tremendous pressure because of the stance of the Russians and things like that. And you can see they're dealing in rubles and everything else and trying to do away with the dollar. The African continent needs to do likewise. Unfortunately, they're so badly indebted to these the West, you know, it's going to take them a lifetime to come out of these things.
Yeah, you make a very valid point indeed. And, you know, the bottom line is they have captured the Americans, the Emiratis, and they captured most of the Muslim nation states and so-called Muslims, as George Bush eloquently said. Ahmed, we're running out of time because Jews a Day will be 63 minutes this morning. Perhaps your parting words this morning.
Well, there's more protest action threatened by the unions, and things. They are saying that the SAFTU, many others, are saying they rejected the 3% offer, so you can expect more protest action. People must just be aware of that and prepare accordingly. You know, they are rejecting the 3% offer that has been given to them. So they already proposing certain dates, but I think we will keep the my informed accordingly, you know, so that they can take the necessary precautions. Inshallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam, Member of Parliament.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.